Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. On today's broadcast, we have David Hogan. David Hogan was a Louisiana roughneck that worked in the oil field. He worked hard. One day, God turned him around, and he works just as hard, I'd say probably a lot harder, in the gospel. He's a real soldier, a real warrior for the kingdom of God. Remote areas of Mexico, and he's traveled all around the world. He has a powerful ministry, people getting miraculously healed, and even people being raised from the dead. Well, how did David Hogan get there? Today we are going to explore some of his journey, what he does. It's powerful. So fasten your seatbelts. A warrior, a soldier for the kingdom of God, David Hogan.
I'm a soldier and I'm fit for war. It says it right in my Bible. God made us fit. I went to these men that did these great feats in the Bible. How did they do this? You seek God, like Daniel and like Moses. The only reason I can do it is because I found in the Bible other men that did these things and how they approached God to get the idea to do the stuff. And by their example, I started trying it, and it worked. Okay. Not long ago, about 2 years, my wife and I were traveling out of Mexico together. She's driving one of our trucks. It was my son's truck. And I'm driving ours. And she's right behind me. And we were driving through a 100% war zone. Now, a 100% war zone is one where you're not going through there. They got you. They're going to stop you. The government does not control the area. The bad guys do. Okay, we're driving through it, and y'all's question is, why? My response is, because it's there. It's the way out. I don't. What am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to evade them because they're scary? What makes you afraid? You're intimidated by evil. I'm not much. I don't think they have the right to do that to me. Anywhere in the world. Okay, so that makes me dangerous to your environment. That's how you view me. This guy's volatile. He's trouble. Well, let's go through this war zone and see. Miss Hogan, I stopped. I told her, are you good? She looked at me, little grandma, y'all, she's frightening. I look at her and I go, the courage. And she's a little soft, little grandma. And she says to me, here's what she said to me. I'm going to follow you as you follow Christ. Regardless of your decision, I'm with you. And I look at her. Oh, that chafed me. I mean, I feel, right now the hair's on the back of my neck's up. And I said, okay, fine. So I'm up there. Well, there's a lot at stake. Her life, the secretary that works for her, my sons that are in the vehicle, you know, lots of stuff, lots of equipment, is lots of money is involved, and you never know what they're going to do to these women in the first place. So, we got caught. I'm riding down the road. I've been up and down this road for 35, 40 years. This time, it was my turn. All of a sudden, you hear this Fast and Furious car coming. You can tell by the sound that it's way over 1,000 horsepower. I'm a mechanic, so you can just—I just know by noise of it coming up behind us. Oh, no. Sure enough, he comes roaring up. He almost hit me, cut in front of me. He's trying to cause an incident, trying to cause me to be riled up because it would give them more permission to kill us. They're going to anyway. It's 100%. I went around him. I punched it. As soon as I did, my wife did. And we're driving Hemi Dodges. I'm running 400 horsepower in each vehicle. That's not enough for a 1,000 horsepower vehicle. Doesn't matter. So I punched it up a little bit above the speed limit, and we're running. I can't even see her headlights. She's so close to me. We look like trained, like we know what we're doing, right? And I heard the second vehicle, then the third. And this time there's one right behind my wife, one in front of me, and one on my side. And when they started slowing me down, getting out of that Hemi, getting out of the power, the energy that we have, then I'm not going to fight with them. Ms. Hogan's present, I'll die in a heartbeat. But God spoke to us. Compliance. So, next thing I know, there's five AK-47s sticking out the window of the car, and it's about a foot and a half from Ms. Hogan's head in the vehicle right behind me. All right. Regardless of whose world it is, that's not awesome. But what do you do?
Well, brother, you call on Jesus. Pom pom.
Are you serious? You cry. You moan. You don't know what to do. You're inside. Your heart is up here in your mouth. Every heartbeat, you can feel it. Fear is trying to consume you. Now I'm rolling probably in miles per hour, probably 10. They've got to shut down. And I didn't know what to do. Because I'm expecting to see gray matter in my mirror from Ms. Hogan's head when they pull the trigger. And I don't know what to do, how I got us into that situation. I expect God's angel to come and shut the mouth of the lion. I expect that because we have fasted and prayed. We have sought the Lord. We have set our face diligently and called on heaven. And all of us in here deserve hell. If we get anything else, it's mercy. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know what to do. We're rolling slowly. It may be 8 or 10 miles an hour. We're rolling, but she's not looking. I was watching that woman. She would not look at her enemy. She's watching me in the mirror. You talk about impressive. You see that little woman, you need to be impressed. And I go, my God, help me. Father. So I jam the brakes. I'm not rolling very fast, 5-10 miles an hour, but I hit them. And they're watching us instead of my brake lights. But she's watching me and brake lights instead of watching the enemy. So you put your attention on godly format, never on your enemy. You hear me? I'm positive this is what spared us. And when I jammed the brakes, from 10 miles an hour, that's easy, it's just a couple of feet. But my nose of my truck went down, the lights came on, Ms. Hogan saw it, stopped, but they didn't. It threw the truck with the guns up to my truck. And I turn, and I'm looking, those guns are right here, five of them. Good-looking men, educated, handsome Mexican fellas, they just devils. And they gonna squeeze a round off. They are going to, it's 100%. And it was pretty tense for a few seconds. And I'm just staring him right in the eyes. Good looking fella, handsome. Under other circumstances, we'd get along great. It's true. And for no reason known to us to this day, this young man says to me, in perfect English, which that threw me off. because it's all Spanish, 100%, and, you know, but he spoke English to me, and I answered him back in Spanish. He says to me, he used his gun. There's five guns out the windows. He says, in perfect English, you go ahead now. I said, ¿qué? ¿Qué me dijo? What did you say? He said, I told you to get moving. I mean, it's English. I said, hey, bueno, that's good. So I'm not taking my eyes off. I reach over and get the stick, and I put it in gear, and I'm watching the guy. In Ms. Hogan's viewpoint, if y'all ask her after a while, she'll be here in a minute or later on tonight. And she told me I was expecting gray matter also, David. But then when I nodded to her, I looked in the mirror and nodded. She put it in gear and we started rolling out easy. I don't know why they spared us. They never even looked at us. I'm telling you, God spared us. We rolled out, got up to about 115 kilometers an hour, probably 65, 70 miles an hour right in there. And they're running with us now. They have two vehicles in the front and one in the back, and they're full of men and guns. We went 30 miles, maybe, with them now going from being our capturers to our guards. They're protecting us. It's their territory that we went through. And they pull off the road. I slowed down. The guy in the front that had talked to me gets out. He looked just like a movie. Bullets, hand grenades, and he got this automatic weapon. He steps out of the vehicle, looks at me, salutes me. Have a good trip. And I'm just going, are you serious? Wow! That hit me went, boy. You hear me? All 400 and something horsepower are running. Putting distance between that 1,000 horsepower car. Now, this is awesome. I'm telling you something that is current, that has happened in your generation, that's like similar to a lion's den deal, and it's the same reason as prayer and fasting and seeking diligently the face of God. You hear me? Having little faith will not get you anything but dead. We need more faith. We need more Jesus. We need more of the power of God. We don't need to be okay, and I'm on coast, and I'm going to be okay. We need to climb the mountain of God. That's what we need. Everybody does. It is God's call on all of us to seek Him. These are not optional things. If you want to move in the glory of God, in the power of God, you're going to have to do these things these other men did, these other women. You're going to have to seek God. It's not who I am, brother. Then you'll never do what I can do. The only reason I can do it is because I found in the Bible other men that did these things and how they approached God to get the idea to do the stuff. And by their example, I started trying it, and it worked. Okay. And now the rest is history. And now everywhere we go in the world, that nations that do not raise the dead, we go there, we preach the gospel, and they start raising the dead. It works. It's not tied down to a type of people, color, race, language, food groups, people groups. It's not. God is absolutely in love with the world. For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't take, He gave. All right. Now let's go to him. So go to Daniel. Daniel 9, please. Now, they were in bondage, like most people. It's going to be some hard things come out of my mouth, but it's not against you. It's against hell that's trying to take you over. If you look back over thousands of years that we have recorded here, not the secular, but here in the Bible, hell has been fighting humanity from the beginning in the garden. I believe God exists and he created earth, and I believe he made a garden, and I believe that sin was found in one of his beings, and this being became the devil. And there's lots of things I believe personally. And this being was mad because God loved men and his creation so much, the devil deceived him. And then you get the fall in the garden. From that moment, when men accepted hell's progress over God's, we've had trouble as humans. Now, you got to understand me. Outside of mercy, you're not going to make it. These beings are powerful. You don't open your mouth and curse and so forth. But that just means you don't understand. When I get around people with these wild things against the devil and against the beings that work for him, I just look at them and I keep my mouth shut. They don't get it, how the real war is. All right? I don't want to be too complicated, but at the same time, this is not a flippant, just a joyful party. We're all out here with pom-poms and we win. That look around you at the people since the day you got born again that you love that have fallen away. Something evil is attacking you the moment you get born again. And we need help. We need Jesus. Daniel 9, please. All right. One of the men that's one of my heroes in life is Daniel, of course. He's a great guy. Went through the lion's den and all sorts of stuff. And those three Hebrew boys that was around him went through the fire and that smell of smoke didn't get on them. What caused God to work for those men when you can't seem to get your headache healed? There's something wrong with what we're doing. And it ain't okay to just be okay with it. We have to figure out how to fix this. Our generation's counting on the house of God. Not a bunch of spoiled baby brats. Supposed to be eating meat and you still need a bottle. Wake up. What's against you is hell, not me or God. There's your enemy. There's your problem. Okay? So, how do we oppose them? How do we become soldiers of the gospel? All right. We look at other men's lives who were married and had kids in the Bible, and they were working people as well. They had to figure out how to work and make a living as well as seek God. You are not the first generation. But let's go after it, okay? You're not going to flippantly do anything with God. You have got to go to Him on His terms. He loves you, period. But you don't have the right to demand anything from him when you're acting like a demon. There you go. And there's not one of us that's okay. So how do you reconcile all that stuff? Well, you go to him and say, I'm sorry. That's the first thing. Daniel chapter 9. First year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. What I need to come on us, you, myself, is understanding that we need God. We're in a bind. Our nation's in a bind. We're no different. This is a forsaken, godless nation. We need understanding. I want the kind of revelation, the kind of understanding that hit Daniel. I want it. He woke up. He was in captivity. Right? All right, so what was this thing? The number of the years, according to the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, you know, the desolation, the 70 years, y'all teach on all this stuff. Keep reading. I set myself, my face, to the Lord God, to seek Him. How did he seek Him? What did he do? I'm considered a guy that's gone way too far. You hear me? I went to these men that did these great feats in the Bible. How did they do this? How do you defy the Medes and the Persians, the rulers of the known world at the time? But you open your window three times a day and call on the name of Jehovah, knowing that if you do, you will be killed. How do you have that kind of courage? What is that? Where did that come from? What is that? It's understanding of who God is. It's revelation of a higher power, higher than any man's energy that's alive, or any group of men. Y'all know this. I'm sure you know this story where he prayed and fasted in 21 days. And then this mighty archangel comes and he said, you know, I was sent the day you started, but I was resisted. This is an archangel. Whatever you believe about how much power they have, and God himself sent the archangel to Daniel. And this prince of Persia devil resisted him. He did make his way through. He did what God said. He looked at Daniel. Now, I can't sit and have a chat with you. So y'all like coffee and donuts. And you think that's awesome. Let me tell you what's awesome. Fighting the prince of Persia and winning. That's awesome. Angel looked him right in the face. This is what God said. Now I'll be out of here because I got to go back to the fight. You see how disciplined these things are? And yet you think by just rambling along through life, case said, whatever will be, will be. That's a lie. It's what we make it. We go to the Holy Ghost and we fight hell like these archangels do. Some of you sitting in this room, it can't get any worse, so you might as well join me. When I am suited out for war, I've got my helmet on, I've got my breastplate of righteousness on, I have taken the time to worship and to pray and to fast, and I've got the sword of the Spirit in my hand and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girt about with truth and my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'm looking at the hordes of hell and I'm not backing down. I don't know who's on my right and left, and I don't give a flying flip. God is with me. Okay. How do you get this kind of power? You seek God like Daniel and like Moses. Moses went up for 40. Y'all are aware of that. He comes down. He heard this noise. He's got this God's finger cut out this rock and made all these etchings on it and all of that. He carries it down the hill, saw the whoredom of hell, threw the rock down, broke it, and went right back up the mountain for another 40. But when he came down the second time, his face was glowing. That thing a while ago, I want to glow in the dark. Most of you thought that's a catchy little song. No, it's not. It is possible. Brother David, I don't believe that. There's your difference. I'm what's called a believer. You want me to be like you? No, I'm going to follow this. And I might be a little edgy on some things, but I like my life. It's full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Every day I get to lay my hands on incurables and watch the demons run. I like it. So how do I walk into a village? Let's just say the village is 500 years old. Let's say there's 1,500 people living there. They don't need anything you've got. They don't need your lights, your water. They don't need any source or resource you've got. They live because the mountain is there and God gives them rain. Okay. I walk into a village. I'm the first white guy they've ever seen. And I put my feet on the dirt and I lift my hands and I say, Jesus is king of this territory. Okay. Then the war starts. Your witch doctors attack you. They come out. They enforce. They know you're there. Spirits are talking to them. And they say to you, you can't come here. You cannot preach here. The answer, you just look at them and you laugh. I rebuke you. I realize how many millenniums you've been in charge of this area. The principalities have. That's over. I'm a son of God. It's my land now. I could be wrong, but I'm not. I could be. I do this right here. And it says, go and make disciples. Possess the land. This is who we are. This is what we do. We are sons of God. Any place your foot touches, I will give it to you. Okay, so this is who we are. This is what we do. We are sons of God. And we approach it with, like he said, I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer, supplication and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord God, made confession. Oh God, great and dreadful God. See, I don't know him as a dreadful God. You know him only as love. Praise the Lord. But he's also justice. He is the judge of the universe. He is to be feared. But yet we want our way, and we want it soft and easy and comfortable. And I'm not against you. I bless you. But you believe in comfort instead of God. I'm not one of those people that do rest. I do war. Jesus is king. See the courage I've got to say this stuff? Because I like being delivered from the lions. When the evil demons and the politicians and the religious world unite and put you in the lion's den, you need to say, wow, this is nice and comfortable. And when they come and look at you, and the king says, how are you still alive? This is the man that runs the known world. Now, this is not some flippant whoever drug addict off the street. This is an actual monarch. And he walks in there. How is it that you're still alive? The boldness of Daniel. Well, the Lord whom I continually serve sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion. Say it with me, I want that. I know it's what you want, but you got to be more serious about how you're approaching it, all right? And I'm not judging you. I'm trying to be soft as I can with you, which is hard for me to do because I'm an aggressive soldier. I live in war zones. And when you live in war zones like I do, you become as where your surroundings are. And I am different than you, and the reason is I live in a war zone. And you live in a peace place. And you don't see that, because there is skirmishes around, and they are dreadful. And I'm not demeaning it, but you try to seek peaceful places and solutions. I don't. I'm a soldier, and I'm fit for war. It says it right in my Bible. God made us fit. Okay. How do you get this kind of power? You seek God, like Daniel and like Moses.
Come fly with Global Air Force.